third hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on this Tuesday afternoon. Our show brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint Whiskey. Smoother than smooth. Super Bowl winning quarterback Brad Johnson on the line with us. Said we would talk to him. What a run the Bucs have made to put themselves back in the position. Something a Tampa team did with this guy. Our next guest was under center, and they beat the Raiders in the Super Bowl. Brad, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Appreciate you guys having me on your show. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. Let's go back to that magical year and that run to the Super Bowl. When did you feel – and by the way, let's start with – I think I remember before you went to Tampa, was it Brian Billick, who we've had on the show many times, wasn't he trying to get you to come to Baltimore at the time, but you chose Tampa instead? Is that right, or did I just make that up?
Brian and I, we were together for 7 years in Minnesota, and then he went to Baltimore, and they were actually going to make a trade for me from Minnesota, and then Washington had a better price tag in the trade, so I went to Washington. I was a free agent and had a couple of choices, and I was Baltimore was heavily into it just because I knew the system, but they just won a Super Bowl,
yep.
And with Trent Dilfer was the quarterback, and they'd won a Super Bowl, but things worked out better with me with a contract that I got in Tampa. And then Tampa, selfishly, they'd never won a Super Bowl. And I wanted to be the first ones I ever felt like could win it for that franchise, and I just felt like it was a better fit for me in the end. But I have a lot of great respect for Brian Billick. He had a huge impact on my career.
Ironically, we had Trent Dilfer on the show this past Friday. So when did you know it was all coming together that season? Did you know it from jump when you looked around the room, or when did you have that feeling that, hey, we've got something special brewing here?
I remember the first meeting I had with John Gruden. It was in February, right, when he got the job. I was in his office, and he looked at me and said, Brad, we're going to win a Super Bowl this year. You believe me? He's like, we're going to declare war on Monty Kiffin and Derek Brooks and Warren Sapp and John Lynch and Simeon Rice, and how are they going to stop blast off the Joker right X short 22X drive? How are they going to stop triple right F right 359 Nebraska X seam? And he's just going to make it it had been a dominated defensive team for many, many years. And so we declared war in mini camp and training camp, and it was just healthy competitive spirit. And defense, there's two guys have already made the Hall of Fame with Derek Brooks and Warren Sapp, and eventually here I think John Lynch and Ronnie Barber and Simeon Rice will too. But that season we just felt like we went 3-1 every four games, and we ended up going 12-4 in the regular season. But I think for me personally, at the end of the year, we got hot about halfway through the season. We started scoring a bunch of points offensively. We were still beating people, but It was a game on Monday night. We played Pittsburgh. I was out with a back injury. We lost 17-7. And it was just a game that didn't go well for us. But I remember driving home, and I was talking to my wife. I said, our team is really, really good. We were in the red zone tonight three or four times. We should have beat Pittsburgh, but we didn't. But we only got beat by that bad when we didn't really score points. And I said, all right, we're going to be in every game that we play. And we got a chance to win it all. And I came back from my back injury in the playoffs. We were hot throughout the playoffs, beat San Fran, beat Philly in the cold up there in the NFC Championship game, and then ran through the Super Bowl with Oakland. So it was just a group of great coaches, great players, and we got hot at the right time of the year, at the end of the year.
Well, we were hoping in this market in Nashville that you were going to be facing the Titans in the Super Bowl, but so I guess therefore we were rooting for you guys, considering the Raiders were the team that put the Titans out in the AFC Championship game. When you see Ryan Tannehill, Brad, when you watch the Titans right now, what do you see in him? Because obviously he's been kind of a transformation of his career from his days in Miami to what we've seen here in Nashville with the Titans. When you watch Tannehill, what do you see?
Really good player. I see a winner. I see a team player. I'm trying to think throughout his career. I don't know if he really played that much quarterback in college. I think he was at Texas A&M and kind of a late bloomer, got drafted high. I think he was playing well at Miami. They went through a major knee injury. And then, sometimes you just need a change of pace. And he's backing up there for a little bit with Marcus Mariota. But he's extremely athletic. He's extremely accurate. He knows how to play the game. He knows how to lead his team. And it's it goes underrated sometimes. Sometimes you're not getting that attention, but he is a, you know, last year they had a chance to go to the Super Bowl last year, had a big lead on Kansas City, and just kind of got away from them. But he is he's a winner, and that's when you have a franchise that'll back you up like that, and with a good team, good coaches, it's something that you know the organization and the fans should take pride of.
It's ridiculous the body of work that Tom Brady, what he's been able to do, and he's 43 years old, and you know now 10 Super Bowl appearances. I mean, it goes without saying what his resume looks like, but. When you think about what he's got the opportunity to do, Brad, which, oh, by the way, they also become the first team to actually host the Super Bowl. They are the host team and city, which is pretty cool. I can't believe that's never happened. But to go from to beat Breeze, Rodgers, and the opportunity to beat Mahomes, if he does that, I mean, like I said, we already know what his body of work looks like, but if he can put an exclamation point on this season – by beating those three quarterbacks to win the Super Bowl, what will that say about Tom Brady?
It's just more icing on the cake. I mean, it 21 years, you know, if he would have retired after his 10 years in the NFL, he would have made Hall of Fame. If he'd had a second year of his last 10 years, he'd have made Hall of Fame again. I mean, it's, you know, he's got the most wins as a quarterback. He's got the most wins as a playoff guy. He's been 10 Super Bowls, went to 14 championship games. I mean, what it says is accountability, a guy that who's healthy, plays every year, who can lead his team consistently, and a guy that comes through in the clutch. I mean, so, you know, sometimes you get amazed by what that other guy can do and some other quarterback, the way they can make throws and off-schedule throws. But Tom he's a guy that makes great decisions, great decisions. He's accurate with the ball. He's going to give his team a chance to win week in and week out, and it's a – I mean, to say it's surprising, you'd have to say no, because he does it every year. To say it's amazing, it's truly amazing. He's done this for 21 years and success he's had. And you know, you go back and look at that, you know, you look at his combine, that we all laugh at his 40 and we all laugh at what he might have looked at in some T-shirt and shorts and stuff, but the guy is a winner. And when you look at a quarterback, you want a guy that's very dependable, great decision maker, and God comes to the clutch, and he epitomizes all that.
Talking to Brad Johnson, who quarterbacked the Tampa Bay Bucs, the Super Bowl, and the championship back in the 2002 season. And, Brad, I just love to get the mindset of a player when you're playing in the Super Bowl. How did you try to calm yourself down, be in the right frame of mind with all of the attention that gets paid, you know, for this? It might be a little different this year, I guess, but there's nothing like the Super Bowl.
It's a special feeling. I mean, you work for it all your life. You know, you talk about it, but until you're the one that has to go through that game, you really don't. Your nerves, it's different when you're sitting home or you play in the regular season game. Super Bowl Sunday is a different game, and it is a game, but there's so much more that goes along with it, from the distractions of getting tickets for everyone, hotels. Those things are a little bit different this year because of COVID, and just the enormity of the game is coming up. But it's what you want as a quarterback. It's, you know, people don't ask you questions. How many yards do you throw for? How many touchdowns do you throw? What they ask you is, did you ever win a Super Bowl? And that's what you want to go down as a winner, as a guy that could lead your team, that did it, accomplished it, and then you put a feather in your cap when you did it. So I pinch myself every year when I watch the Super Bowl, knowing what the winter is going to go through, the confetti falling on your face, and I'm going to Disneyland, and the whole bit, and to represent your town, your city for life. It's pretty awesome.
Brad, the storyline is a lot of people will remember, but I might jar some people's memories here, that John Gruden was your coach. He had been coaching the Raiders. You guys play the Raiders, and he had such a great feel for their offense that he prepared the defense so well, and we know what happened. You guys had an outstanding performance all around and one going away. What did you remember leading up? Is that part of it been overhyped, or do you think that was really a major, major factor in that game?
Well, I think it's true, but I also think, you know, he brought in the same system he ran with Oakland for those last 3 or 4 years too. So they knew our system as well as we knew theirs.
Yes.
That's what never gets talked about. But I do remember the importance of John. You know, he one day at the last day of practice on a Friday, he actually took over the last 2-minute drill because he wanted to show our defense, how Rich Gannon made his audibles, made his kills, how he checked from one play to the next. And so he did like a mock 10-play drive against our defense. I think he went 4 for 4 in the drive. He threw a couple curls, a stick route. But in that time being, he probably had delay of game because they're trying to make so many checks. Our defense was laughing because they knew they couldn't complete those balls. They gave it to him, and then we hustled. After practice, we got a bus back to the hotel. He's in there already watching film of himself, of him playing quarterback against our great defense. So, but it was fun. John was, Tony Dungy, he came in there in the 90s. He had great development in players in the draft, brought a winning attitude, winning effort, and then they made a change with John coming in. And John made a bunch of moves in free agency for us and then took us over the top as far as helping us win the Super Bowl. So I'm so thankful for that time to play for Dungy and for, obviously, for Coach Gruden. Huge impact on my life.
Brad, I had the pleasure of meeting you a long time ago. You would never remember this, but it was you and Casey Weldon – came to a summer league baseball game down in Orlando. I was playing for a summer league team. We had some players on our team from Florida State that you knew. I played two sports at Vanderbilt, and it seems like it's sort of a dying breed, especially at the college level. It's extremely difficult to do what you did. Right. For people that don't know, Brad was an excellent basketball player at Florida State as well as quarterbacking the football team. But it was a different era. Your son's playing quarterback now. How did you try to use your experience for the next generation coming up? How different was it, and how valuable is it to still try to play as many sports as you can for as long as you can?
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think every kid should play. It's a dying breed to ever find a kid that plays three sports in high school. It doesn't. There may be one kid in the whole school that kind of does it. It's hard having kids play two sports, football and basketball, because of all the summer activity. And sports have almost become year-round with AAU basketball or football combines in February and March, and it's almost become year-round stuff. But I think it makes you a better athlete. Like if I'm a quarterback and I'm playing basketball, it teaches you in basketball to how, what are the man plays, what are the zone plays, what are your out-of-bounds plays, the time, the clock, and score, and the ball, it matters. And just competing and leading your team, whether you're a good player, a great player, or just on the participant. You know what I mean? So it gets lost. My son Max, he is at LSU, and they're already in what's called quarterback schools and meetings, and they do simulated practices without a ball. And we're talking January kind of stuff here. It's almost become year round, and you wish kids could play more sports, get more involved in more things, but you kind of get pulled from. In high school, you get pulled from one coach to the other coach. Unless you have someone speak up for you, an athletic director, you're not getting to play as many sports as you'd like. And I think it's a lost art, and you wish more kids were doing more things like that. But I love competing, was able to play two sports at Florida State for 2 years. I went to the NCAA twice in basketball, and I'm thankful for those opportunities. And then Charlie Ward, he was behind me. He ended up doing the same thing, won the Heisman. I think he played 4 years of basketball and then had an 11-year career after winning the Heisman in basketball. So it's kind of crazy to know that you play with certain guys like that. And obviously Deion Sanders, he did the same thing too.
Yeah, boy, that's quite a group at Florida State alone. So, Brad, what's it like? You're talking to a couple of dads who love watching their kids play. What's it like watching Max play at this level? That had to be pretty exciting to do it, but what goes through your head as you're sitting in the stands?
I remember his first snap. He got it. He'd have games and he'd come in and his first snap would be on the 1 yard line. He has 99 yards to go. And you're like, okay, the first thing that every quarterback coming off the bench, they do is they fumble the snap. I mean, it's amazing how many times those things happen. And then you're dealing with the crowd noise. You're dealing with the ball on your 1 yard line. You don't want to take a sack. And you sit there and like, those are just some simple things, but those are long, long, long conversations that you have trying to make a point. And then after the game, Max said, hey, first thing I remember, Dad, don't fumble the f- first play of the game. You know what I mean? Just little things like that add up. And then how to manage a two-minute drill, how to handle your team after a touchdown, how to handle your team after something that doesn't go so well. And just every conversation from – and I was fortunate enough to coach Max since he came out of the womb. I mean, you know, so it's coaching his peewee teams, his middle school teams, his high school teams. And but all those conversations, all those days on the field, they all add up. And but at the same time, you just want to be a dad and sit in the stands, enjoy, let your kid enjoy being coached by other coaches, and let his greatness come out also. So it's nerve-wracking, but it's also very it's fun and satisfying at the same time too.
Choosing football over basketball, was that an easy decision or a tough decision?
For me, it was very tough. I grew up a basketball nut. Roy Williams, the coach at Kansas at North Carolina, he used to coach at my high school back in the day, and Brad Daugherty, who played at Carolina, was an NBA All-Star. He was in my high school, and I was an All-State basketball player. Scored 2,400 points out of high school, and my dream was to be a NBA player and be like a Larry Bird or Chris Mullin. And so I realized, I mean, 6'5", a guy that couldn't jump, couldn't guard anybody, wasn't going to make it too far. So I had to choose football for my career path, but I loved basketball, loved it, and just knew that I was only going to go so far with it, though.
Interesting. All right, last thing. I'm not going to ask you who's going to win because I have a suspicion you'll pick the Bucks. So I'm going to ask you, how are the Bucks going to win this game? How do they beat the Chiefs and Mahomes? How do they get it done?
They're going to have to score points. I mean, they're going to have to score points to win this game. It's going to take a lot from both sides. And obviously watching this past weekend, the two things that came up were teams that turned the ball over. If you look with the Saints, when they lost, they turned it over two or three times, and that happened the other day with Green Bay. And then the other thing is you got to score points in the red zone, not selfless field goals. So it's going to be a great game. I'm pumped up about it, and two can't imagine two more deserving quarterbacks playing this game.
No doubt about it. Hey, we really enjoyed the visit. Thanks so much for doing this, and sit back and enjoy next Sunday. Should be a lot of fun. We'll all be watching. Thanks for doing this.
Awesome. Appreciate you having me. Thank you.
All right. That is Super Bowl winning quarterback Brad Johnson. He was indeed the winning quarterback for the Bucks the last time they were in this spot, and they got it done against the Raiders. Of course, the Raiders were in Oakland then, not Las Vegas today.
How funny was that point? It's kind of a subtle point he made, but it's true. It does never get talked about. Gruden gets all the credit for knowing exactly what the Raiders were doing offensively because he had been coaching the Raiders. He says, but Brad goes, well, they knew our offense too because Gruden brought the same offense over
sure.
to us.
No
so
doubt.
That never gets talked about. So
nope.
That's pretty good.
It would only have been talked about if the Raiders would have won.
100%.
That's 100%. The way it works.
Yep.
It doesn't get talked about because the Bucks won. So it's because Gruden knew about them. That's how it works. The winning team was going to get the credit for knowing the other. All right, good stuff from Brad Johnson. Really appreciate it. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donnick, and Chase on the other side.